baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I am your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes, our ace co-host. What's up, Goes?
What up? You sound a little different.
I'm a little sick.
Yeah.
And I think you're coming down with it, too. I think you're like a day and a half behind me.
You know, I don't know, because about a week ago, I was feeling what you were feeling, but I thought maybe it was just allergies. And it kind of started going away, and then yesterday I was feeling it a little bit more, and then today a little bit more. So, yeah, I think
we're both two scratchy dummies. Throat, you think that a bottle of OJ will do away with it and some rest, but it didn't seem to work out for me.
Believe it or not, now is probably the best time that could happen anyway, so with the weekend coming.
Well, I'm thinking the same thing. I'd rather hopefully get you know how it's like 10 days, and so you want the worst to be like days 2, 3, and 4. I just want to be okay in time to do Sportscaster on Saturday, UFC 242.
That's Sunday football.
2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, and then, of course, yes, Sunday football. Want to be good in time for that. But, look, it's Thursday here. We still have some time. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a miracle turnaround. Now, we're feeling a little under the weather, but I'll tell you what, everything's rocking and rolling down in Abu Dhabi. We're definitely going to touch on that. We'll talk about Bellator in San Jose. They got a fight card coming up as well with some very interesting matchups. And, of course, there's some news nuggets tied to some of the big fighters in the world. There's a big, big official free agent signing. There is a big, we'll call it a cut or parting of the ways as well, involving another big-name fighter. And then there's a few champ fights that have kind of been doused. You know, the doused a little bit of water on them, and I think those are cooling off, but we'll have some fun with that. And, of course, we didn't mention NFL. I happened to walk by and get some statistics here and some odds, and so me and Gil will have a little bit of fun as we close the show. So, buckle up. It's time for the Thursday show for the MMA Junkie Radio team, and off we go. All you Junkie fans, listen up. If you're looking for a sports podcast that's outside the box, where the topics are trending and all of the people speak their minds, listen to our brothers and sister over at For the Win Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and popular apps.
And to catch up with the latest news in golf, check out the Forward Press Podcast by Golf Week.
As a matter of fact, to see all the USA Today Network podcasts, including podcasts from NFL and NBA, go to podcast.usatoday.com. All right, Goes, you want the good or the bad?
I want the good because I feel like all we ever talk about is the bad.
All right, I see you. All right, so obviously we'll finish up with UFC and Bellator. But what I was talking about was a big-name fighter. And we kind of alluded to this on Monday because it seemed like a worst-kept secret. You saw Chris Cyborg kind of retweeting things and just cozying up to Bellator. But officially, she has now signed for Bellator. Mm-hmm. She's ready to go. And Scott Coker already threw in. She will be fighting for a title right away. And he also mentioned she's the highest paid WMMA athlete ever.
That I didn't understand too much, because if he were to say today, okay, I could believe that. But ever, wasn't Ronda Rousey bringing in some pretty good cash during her time?
Yeah.
That doesn't make too much sense to me, because Chris Cyborg obviously had that falling out with the UFC, and I don't know that ONE Championship or PFL or Ryzen or any of them were really throwing that much money where you say, all right, I gotta make you the highest paid woman to get you on. It just seemed like it was, like you said, one of those best unkept secrets. I thought it was just going to happen. I thought maybe they would say something like, look, it's not like you're going to go anywhere else. How about we just give you roughly what the UFC gives you and we shake hands. But to make it that much more, I mean, at that point, don't you kind of question whether or not these guys are overpaying a little bit on some of these contracts?
Yeah, so I think this is what it boils down to. I think what he means is he probably did his research and found out what Ronda got paid to show.
Mm-hmm.
And he topped that. Because you're right. When Ronda Rousey defended, she got those pay-per-view cuts. And she made it all the way to being one of those that could sell a million pay-per-views. So I got to imagine by the time Ronda sold those million-dollar pay-per-views, she probably became anywhere between a $5 to $10 million fighter, depending on what she negotiated. But when we'd get those salaries from Nevada or California or wherever she fought, if the state released them and it said $200,000 to show, you know, $200,000 to win. And then we have our little disclaimer at the bottom that says she got paid a boatload of money. So settle down, everybody. I think that's what he means, is he's more of a show money. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Hey, these are free agents. I respect them. It's all about the fighters. And that's how we court a lot of these free agents. So I think that's probably what he meant. But either way, he's paying a lot of money, you know, like you said.
Do you think, I don't want to say that they overpaid, but when you think about it, Elimelee McFarlane, right, one of their champions, she's pretty popular now. I think they've done a good job of promoting her. She's a sweet girl. She's a great fighter. Chris Cyborg, when you see the money that was dealt out for her, Do you look at that and say that's fair? Because what I do is I look at like the 155 division and I go, man, it'd be nice to get some good talent in that division and kind of spruce it up a little bit. Even
the men's, right?
In men's, yeah. I don't know. What do you think the rest of the roster is thinking when they're looking at that?
I don't know, because in a way, you got to trust in Scott Coker. I mean, he's done this for many, many years with various organizations. But, yeah, you're right. That's how I think of it. Like, wait a minute. Couldn't this money have been served and, you know, to fill some other holes, I guess, some other gaps? I used to remember when the NFL first came up with the salary cap and you had a chance to keep your coveted free agent quarterback, or you could shore up everything else. And guess what? The backup, the second stringer, wasn't so bad. So, yeah, we'd take a little dip there, but we kind of made sure we had a line to protect him and, you know, some pass rushers and some DBs and all that. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's a good question, and you're right. Geez, that hasn't really been a topic that we've brought up, but that's been something that's been out there. It's the 155-pound division. That mm-hmm. They never really, really shored that up after, like, Thompson stopped fighting and Henderson has declined. You know what I mean? Will Brooks went away. But I don't know. I guess he's got a plan. We'll see what happens. Now, here's the bad news. BJ Penn, who everybody's loved over the years, his career with the UFC is officially over. Dana White was he's out in Abu Dhabi doing a series of interviews. And he talked with ESPN, and basically after these recent street fights videos that have popped up, he says basically they're done. They're done promoting BJ Penn. Your thoughts?
I think he made the right move. I wish maybe he would have done it a little earlier, but. BJ Penn before that had actually finally come out and said a little bit as to his side of the story. And he said some good things, and then he said some kind of dumb things, I thought, that were just the exact problem. And, you know, at one point he said, I should just have two guys with me all the time. Maybe I shouldn't even be in any situations or whatever. And as soon as he said it, I kind of just wanted to go, duh, yeah, I mean, like, you should have figured this out two issues ago. I think Dana White, before all of these issues came up, was having problems giving him a fight because he's just not a fighter that's as productive as he used to be. He doesn't look horrible in fights, but he's not winning.
Well, some he's taking a lot horrible. Of shots,
but even his last fight, he didn't look that bad.
Yes, I would agree. Yeah. I would agree with that against Guida.
Uh-huh. Frankie Edgar was horrible. Horrible. That was like
and
really,
Ryan Hall,
really bad.
Granted, he does that to everybody, but still, he just almost looked like an amateur out there with mm-hmm. Ryan Hall.
So Dana, before all that, was even having problems giving him a fight, having reasons to give him a fight. So now you do that. I think it's a good look for him. I think it's a good look for the company. And I like some of the things that Dana said. You know, if he really needs me, pick up the phone, call me, and we'll talk. And we've seen Dana help fighters.
Even now that he's been cut, he says he's willing to help him. So that was that was cool of him to say. But as far as his career, he said, quote, he won't fight again. That's it. That's a wrap. It's not even that this was the last straw. I didn't love him continuing the fight anyway. But when you have the relationship that he and I have, and he's been getting me on the phone, begging me for another fight, begging me for another opportunity, it's hard for me to turn him down. But after what I saw on that video, BJ needs to focus on his personal life and get himself together before he thinks about fighting again. So what that didn't seem like was an official
like cut from the roster
door. Yeah, I mean, he just said, well, let me see. He says, I guess he does say in the title, BJ Penn's UFC career is over. So what we're saying is he would be willing to help him. And I guess if BJ can get himself together, BJ, I'm sure, can continue fighting elsewhere. And maybe Dana White will support it by not tying him down to, you know, matching claws or you're under contract with us. You know, I mean, this guy could pop up on the bare knuckle scene or do something.
Oh, no. I know where he's going to pop up.
Where?
If he pops up, he's popping up at Bellator and he's fighting in Hawaii. There is no way, dude. If they're willing to give Chris Cyborg that kind of money, they just did a show in Hawaii. It was big. Everybody's always talked about going to the UFC, going to Hawaii, and who's got to be on that card? BJ Penn. If the UFC's serious about not getting in the way and they're going to allow him to do that, I would imagine that that's the guy that Bellator would go after and send him to Hawaii and do the big card. And if it's his last fight, it's his last fight.
Sounds like a slam dunk to me. And you're right, BJ Penn had broken his silence. He kind of gave his version. All this is on MMA Junkie, so check it out, folks. But he did break his silence and talk about the street fights. He denied starting the street fight and basically talked about his day in the afternoon at this lava lounge or lava bar, whatever it was called, and basically, the guy he tussled with was just an acquaintance, and he said he thought, even though there was a misunderstanding, that honestly, that when the two walked outside, this was an issue that was going to get squashed, and it escalated. And what sucks goes is, I wonder how that guy feels. Let's just say they are acquaintances. Let's believe this story and say, oh, man, what if it's just an old homie, and they wanted, you know, something that they've been harboring feelings from something else. I mean, that led to the dude getting cut. You know what I mean? They're not going to be acquaintances when they see each other again. That's for sure.
Hell no.
But, yeah. I mean, look, I think it was kind of a last straw. And so this was obviously what precipitated the cut. But BJ Penn had just been on a downward spiral career-wise and personal-wise. And I think he needs to get himself figured out first. And then worry about Bellator or whatever's next for him. But he also mentioned, he also addressed, so folks, go to MMA Junkie, the relationship with the ex-partner. They were together for 10 years. They have the two daughters. And, he talked a little bit about, look, I want my daughters to stay in Hawaii and not go to California. And so he brushed on those issues as well.
Mm-hmm. But you got to imagine, like, these things that are going on, that's got to affect it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, because if his family personal life is not right, then imagine just the stress and, whatever. I mean, the depression that he might be going through tied to what we all think, that this could be the oncoming symptoms of CTE. Who knows? I mean, it could just be a lot. Plus, how about if his brain is right and his personal life is right? Just think about how many people that are in the limelight like that, and when their career is over, you go into a funk, into a depression, just on the fact that you're not the man anymore. You know what I mean? That money's not coming in like it once was. Those bottles at the club aren't being paid for, and that, I'm sure that's a little bit intoxicating and a little bit gratifying for a lot of people. It is a little bit of that fame and popularity. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you're not the man. Some are even saying Max is now the greatest.
That's a big thing, I think.
That's a lot that guy's taken on, and if he's not ready for it, then
I thought about that, just the fact that he was the man in the UFC for so long, and then, but the one thing he always had, even when he was going through tough times in the UFC, was he was just the man in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And now with the emergence of Max Holloway, he's kind of lost that
title. Yeah. Yeah. Reminder again, folks, on Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, Goz and I will be doing an alternative broadcast on Sportscaster. Check it out. It's a watch-along for UFC 242 featuring Khabib Nurmagomedov and Dustin Poirier. Again, Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Pay attention to that part. 2 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. They're in Abu Dhabi. That's like 12 hours ahead. That's why all this has been pushed up, and it's an afternoon delight for the East Coasters and late morning start for the West Coasters. All right, so you know that champ era we're in?
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Cejudo's all over the place, right? Well, him and Valentino Shevchenko apparently got into it. No, I'm just kidding. They were playful, and it looks like in doing so, there's even like a couple pictures of them just like playfully tussling and Valentina mm-hmm. choking them. And
she got the win.
Yeah, she got the win, and Henry just putting his head down, laughing it off. And I think maybe, hopefully, that'll be the end of us, of that, you know, having to hear these intergender possible matchups with him. But at the same time, as Valentina was doing that, she said, hey, nope, Weili Zhang is not going to jump the queue ahead of the other flyweights. So I'm sure the other flyweights are like, you go, girl, to the champ, and saying, you're not going to come up and challenge me. I got other fish to fry, flyweights, and probably, you know, just, dude, you just became champ. Settle down.
There's a lot of fighters in the UFC, right? I mean, even in Bellator, ONE Championship, PFL, all the organizations where they'll say something, but I think we respond with, hey, money talks, and I'm sure if they throw enough money in your direction, you'll change your tune. Valentina doesn't strike me as one of those people. She strikes me as a person with a lot of character, and if she says something, that's the way it's going to be. Whether the UFC says, well, how about if you do it for this much? Or so, I think she's just going to stick to her guns. And I appreciate that. That was kind of cool to hear, because it's so different from what we've been hearing in the UFC. So when she says that, I believe her 100%.
Mm. And by the way, one thing she said was she won't allow her to skip the UFC title shot line for the second time, implying that she probably didn't deserve to be matched up against Jessica Andrade. Now, Zhang, with the result, proved that, hey, yes, I do. But what she means is, you know, that struggle, I guess, that all the fighters go through. Ask Tony mm-hmm. Ferguson about that one.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Till you get your shot. And I guess an argument could be made for it should have been Tatiana Suarez. But, hey, if Suarez isn't ready to go, the UFC, I understand that they have to go in another direction. But it was interesting that she phrased it that way. You know what I mean? So don't line up for that one just yet. Now, that said, I bet you Valentina Shevchenko would campaign for a shot against Amanda Nunes for the third time. Second title shot, but third fight overall.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting. And I guess Shevchenko is building her case to get to that, because she's got the title, you know, the title defense. And
We're going to see it, huh?
More established and more popular than Zhang at this point.
It'll happen, right?
Which one, Zhang and
Shevchenko? No, Valentina and Amanda.
Yeah, because they're both shutting down their divisions. And it's not like there's a ton of challengers out there. So, look, Amanda's got GDR, and Shevchenko will have somebody soon. She just had a title defense. Mm-hmm. But she'll have somebody soon, maybe Chikagian or something like that. And then if those two can get past them, then I guess you got the Aspen lads of the world. Well, she just lost. She just lost to GDR. I keep thinking of Ketlin Vera, who hasn't fought since, like, the spring of 2018. And then maybe Andrea Lee. I don't know. I don't know who might be left at flyweight. But
she was kind of calling her out today.
Yeah, I suppose at that point, minimum at least one title defense each, but maybe two. And then, yeah, you would have to see it. And I think Amanda would probably know, hey, as a champion defending against Valentina, it's probably my biggest payday as well. So I'm sure she'll welcome it. Plus, she's 2-0 against her. Now, that said, she also went to a split decision, whereas everyone else, she's lit up. So maybe she also sees it as somebody that's a threat to my reign.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You mentioned money. Let's talk real fast. An interesting article. Khabib Nurmagomedov's father says he'll cash in a huge payday at UFC 242. He says 3 to 5 times as much as his other fights. Now, his other fight, the first one that jumps out at me, is him versus Conor McGregor and the 2.5 million pay-per-views that they sold. But what I think what he's talking about is, once again, is for that one, it was 2 million that he made. Conor made 3, and then they made their pay-per-view draws.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying is, no. The show-up money. So right away, let's just go with the minimum. It sounds to me like Khabib's just getting 6 million just to show for this one,
yeah,
regardless of how many pay-per-views they sell.
Yeah,
so good on team Nurmagomedov, including Ali Abdelaziz. He was pretty proud of of some recent negotiations that they did.
Yeah, on his behalf, that's awesome. Great job. I don't know that Habib really draws in that much money, though. Like, depending on who you match him up against, where the card is. But just on his own, I don't know. Maybe he just becomes one of those guys like Mike Tyson where you watch him and you appreciate what he does. But a lot of people are just watching for that moment when he finally loses. But I don't know that you sit there and you watch it and you say, he has the greatest style or his personality is so awesome, I have to watch this fight. That seems like a lot of money for a guy like that.
It does. What I don't know is, as popular as they say Zhang is going to be and is for China already, mm-hmm. what Habib is to Russia and you know the maybe all of the Muslim fans that he also has around the world. And apparently it's pretty significant, because if you look at his social media, Habib is pretty damn popular.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's a little bit of a news roundup. Now it's time to dig into this weekend's fights. All right, guys, so let's start off with Bellator. Bellator goes down on Saturday. It's Bellator 226 at the SAP Center in San Jose, California. And you know when they're in San Jose, you got to pay attention. One way or another, Bellator loves to – that's their home base. They always love to come strong there. The live streams will be on DAZN, MMA Junkie. For the main card, it'll be DAZN, 10 p.m. Eastern, and the prelims, DAZN and MMA Junkie, 6:45 p.m. Eastern. Let's concentrate on the main card. Excuse me. There's a heavyweight title fight featuring Brian Bader, who won that Grand Prix in the heavyweight division. He defends against Chet Congo, who's kind of been on a nice streak, even though he's mid-40s.
That fight, I went back and forth on who I ended up picking. And I feel like Chet Congo is just so big and so strong that I don't know that Ryan Bader can really fight him the way he's fought other fighters. But then I thought about King Mo. And King Mo's an undersized guy fighting at heavyweight. You can even say he's somewhat of an undersized light heavyweight. But he was able to control Chet Congo and get him down.
Right.
Ryan Bader, he has wrestling, but he doesn't always use it.
And submissions.
And submissions. But he doesn't always use it. So I had problems figuring out if Ryan Bader would be able to do that. But one thing that Ryan Bader does have a lot of is confidence. And in these fights, he really does come out and set the pace. I ended up going with Ryan Bader on this one, but I wouldn't be shocked if Chet Congo gave him problems.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. I'm going with Bader as well, and I think he needs to stick to the wrestling. Because Congo, when he strikes, he's just really big and powerful. And even though he doesn't always just open with it or he's aggressive with it, when he gets going, he does hit pretty hard. I just think, same thing like you were saying, I thought about the King Mo fight, and I just think that's his best path to victory. Put him on his ass, put him on his can, and drain his gas tank. And just bank rounds and hopefully late stoppage.
Looking back on it, though, do you think Chet Congo not being in the tournament was the best thing that could have happened to him?
Yeah, well,
it kind of worked out, didn't it?
Yeah, because I was about to say, well, because I had to think about it. The Featherweight Grand Prix, which I'll touch on right now, and the Welterweight Grand Prix had that extra $1 million bonus. The heavyweight didn't. So, yeah, I guess he didn't have to get his brains rattled, you know, for those fights, and he walked into a title shot. Now, it would have been nice if he was just in it and won the belt and was the champ, but yeah, it wasn't so bad. It didn't hurt as bad. All right, speaking of, the Featherweight Grand Prix kicks off goes Derek Campos versus Daniel Strauss, Adam Borks versus Pat Curran, Taiwan Claxton versus Manuel Sanchez, Pedro Carvalho versus Sam Cecilia. There's four matchups, and there'll be four matchups on a future Bellator card, plus also Gaston Bolanos versus Daniel Carey. So this is a really, really nice tournament. Bellator's got a lot of their studs going.
Yeah, that one's going to be fun. I'm glad they did it. And I was a little skeptical of how many people they were going to put into this thing. But when you just think about the matchups and the names that got thrown around, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I certainly hope Gaston Bolanos can sneak his way in. I don't know if I don't see anything calling it an official substitute match or anything like that, but we shall see. Once again, DAZN, 10 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, for Bellator 226. Now, moving on to Saturday, which I've mentioned a few times, slight adjustment on the start time. Usually, the traditional start time for a pay-per-view is 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. But they're in Abu Dhabi, so we're adjusting to them. And the pay-per-view is going to start at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. In fact, let me give you the full fight card start times because there's a little bit of a switch. Okay, they're going to start on ESPN Plus at 10:15 a.m. Eastern, 7:15 a.m. Pacific. Nordine Taleb is on the card. Bilal Muhammad, one of my favorites, he's on the card. Zach Cummings, he's on the card. So they are on the prelims, 10:15 a.m. Eastern, 7:15 a.m. Pacific, ESPN Plus. Then they move over to FX, goes, not ESPN. Remember, college football started. Mm-hmm. Bigger fish to fry for ESPN. So they're going to be on FX at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And you got fighters like Zubaira Tukagov. That's one of the guys that jumped the cage when that whole mayhem broke out at UFC 229. You also got Cheesecake Sarah Marais out of the Extreme Couture Gym. Joanne Calderwood versus Andrea Lee. Huge, huge fight. In fact, that's why I want to duck in here a little bit early. For Sportscaster, I wouldn't mind calling that one.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
And, of course, the main card, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, including the title fight of Khabib Nurmagomedov versus the interim champ, Dustin Poirier. So they're looking to unify that lightweight title. In fact, there's five lightweight matchups, goes. If you think about it, you got Diego Ferreira versus Marabek Tuzumov, and you got Islam Makhachev versus Davi Ramos, the co-main event, which is Edson Barboza versus Paul Felder. And the only other thing out there that's not a lightweight division fight in the main card is Shamil Abdurakhimov versus Curtis Blaydes. Those are just some heavyweights. So you can't really argue about that that main card, right?
No.
Don't they say that's the most exciting division? Those guys are going to be going nuts over there.
What's even more important and interesting, well, maybe not more, but what will really be interesting is weigh-in day. Every single one of those guys needs to weigh in at 155, correct?
Good point. Well, at least Makhachev. Well, I didn't even know Makhachev would fight Khabib, but if Khabib didn't make it and Dustin had to fight, then yeah, I would imagine Felder, Barboza, and Makhachev. I don't know about the other guys if they're getting any form of a title shot, but Felder already told us if he was going to weigh in at 155, and he said he is. And I'm glad you brought that up because all that, by the way, is going on. They've already, you know, those open workouts and press conferences, all that's happening over there, and they're 12 hours in advance. So we're waking up to a lot of this type of news, including like what we saw out of BJ Penn because
yeah.
Apparently, Dana White went from Contender Series, the last one here, straight to China, straight to Abu Dhabi. And he's also been filming some stuff there for Dana White, looking for a fight as well. So check it all out on MMA Junkie. Our people out there, including Farah Hanoun, John Morgan, and Mike Bond are hustling.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, with that goes, give me some predictions. Has anything swayed you differently from what you've already turned into the staff picks? Khabib versus Dustin, who you like?
I think it's a little silly. I mean, it's so hard to pick against Khabib Nurmagomedov because he doesn't have very many holes. But I did, like an idiot. And I took Dustin Poirier because...
What an idiot.
I know, right? I took Dustin Poirier just because Khabib has been hit and he has been rattled before. And I feel like if Dustin can hit him, Dustin's pretty smart, you know, and I think he's finally balanced everything very well in his game. So I think he could capitalize on it, and I think he could go in for the kill against Khabib. But the worst feeling in the world will be if Dustin doesn't get his game off early on. If Dustin's just kind of sitting around and waiting for Khabib and Khabib takes him down, he's going to hate himself because that's his moment. That's his opportunity to try and land a good shot on Khabib and get the fight to go his way. But if he never gets off, then what's the point, right? And we've seen that happen in so many title fights. I really hope that game plan-wise, which we've seen with the American top team guys, they don't get enough credit. Their game plans have been pretty solid as of late. I really think that Dustin has a good chance. I think it's going to be a fun fight. I don't think we'll see Khabib taking him down over and over and over
That's
again.
That's the thing.
I think this is going to be a fun
if
fight.
If he can stop that early on and frustrate Khabib and just keep it on the feet more time, then yeah. Because Khabib has many ways of winning the fight. Well, not many ways, but primarily he wants to take you down and beat you up, or he banks the round. So, yeah, Dustin has to spend a lot of time avoiding that. I keep thinking, just 1 week ago, we kept saying, man, if Andrade can get a couple of those slams and starts throwing, you know, Willy Zhang around or just starts to explode or whatever, anything that meant her initiating offense, that's when Willy Zhang could be in some trouble. Well, Willy Zhang never even let it get to that point. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Now, I don't know if Dustin can be that aggressive.
That's a good example.
Maybe he can, maybe he can't, because he doesn't want to overcommit and just get taken down like in the first minute of the first round and to just be on his back for four rounds. That would suck. So he's got to pick his spots. But, yeah, I'm also an idiot. I also went with Dustin Poirier. Yeah, yeah, I'm back and I'm hitting. That guy's just found ways to win against great fighters. He's on an incredible run. And no one can go undefeated in the sport. I don't care what anyone says. You have to face an L at some point. And I think it's just going to happen. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But we'll see. And I expect a really great fight out of these two. That's mm-hmm. why it's interim champ versus undisputed champ.
You never know what to expect. And who knows? Maybe this is the time where Habib actually knocks someone out, right?
Yeah. Who do you like between Barbosa and Felder? Does Felder even the score? Or do you think Barbosa's just that little too much for him?
I think he evens the score in this one. I think Edson... Oh, man. If the best Edson shows up, I think he gives Felder some fits. But you know, when you think about both of them, I think Edson a little bit more, has a little bit more wear and tear on his body, but they've both been through some crazy fights. When you think of Mike Perry and Paul Felder and what Paul Felder went through in that fight, I mean, I think the little bit of rest that Paul's had, I think may help him out in this fight. But I have him winning in this fight. But like I said, if you give me the best Paul Felder and the best Edson Barbosa is almost impossible to beat.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, check out our predictions on MMA Junkie. You'll check them out right there. Great card, and remember, we will be on the Sportscaster for, excuse me, for a watch-along for UFC 242, and that's going to start around 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Goes. Let's just close with this. It is the opening weekend of NFL football. Your Washington Redskins are 150-1 to win the Super Bowl. My 49ers are 30-1. To win the Super Bowl. What that means is our squads suck, but what do you expect out of the Redskins? What are you hoping out of the Redskins this year?
Well, 30 is like they're saying you guys are like outside of the playoffs maybe, right? Like just outside?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough because we have a rookie quarterback, and I know eventually he's going to get into the game. But our team is in the last couple of years has been built in the way where all it takes is one injury and just everything goes to crap. Like our depth chart is not that good. And we have a holdout, you know, on the offensive line. And I think that's one of the most important positions in NFL right now. So I expect to have another rough season, but I think it'll be better than last year.
Yeah. And a lot of us is tied to the quarterback Garoppolo. You know, once he went down, season went down. We'll see. We have a really, really good defense mm-hmm. and we're young, but look who's at the top, the Patriots, and it seems like the Chiefs are number two, and then the Saints and the Bears, and the Browns, come on, 8-1. The Browns are going to be up there as well. Boy, have times changed, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, folks, that's it for today. That's our MMA Junkie Radio Show, show number two of the week. Don't forget to check out MMA Junkie throughout the week because we have a lot of great on-site coverage for Bellator 226 and UFC 242. And once again, the last plug for Sportscaster. We'll see you at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific at www.sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. If you're already on Sportscaster, add our channel. And otherwise, you'll see the reminders on social media and the links through the website. We'll be calling the fights. We'll be doing a watch-along for that great fight card, including the main event, which features Habib Nurmagomedov and Dustin Poirier. All right, we are out of here. Go out there and be a champion.